All right. Well, let's take our Bibles and we'll go to 1 John chapter 1. And today I want to teach on 4 points of deliverance: honesty, humility, confession, and renunciation. And the effect of this teaching today will depend whether you're seeking deliverance or not. If you're really seeking deliverance, the very first thing that you must do is get honest enough with yourself that you come to the light of God's wonderful word, because you'll never find light hiding in the shadows. Although our spiritual adversary was once an angel of light, nothing he does is light. It's all darkness. And the evil spirit or unclean spirit realm flourishes in darkness, and that's why deliverance requires that we get out into the light of God's wonderful, matchless word and get cleansed from all unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 1, let me get there myself, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. It's not a question of whether He will or He won't. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not only that, then He will also cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Unclean spirits are what make you feel unclean. That's why they're called unclean spirits, I think. But no amount of physical washing, bathing, or scrubbing is going to cleanse you. That's why we have to come to the light of the Word and get out of the shadows and allow God, when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the only thing that's really going to get us to where we really feel clean, so to speak. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to condemn us? No, to forgive us and to cleanse us. And that word cleanse means leaving absolutely no stain. Isn't that beautiful? Never let unconfessed and unrepented sin provide a sanctuary or concealment for uncleanness to remain in your life. I know what people go through, and I know how the spirit realm functions. Most of self-rejection or rejection of self comes from uncleanness that is extorted from us to protect unclean spirits so they can hide. I know people feel embarrassed. I understand that. But it is the evil spirit realm that uses that to extort from people so that they can remain hiding and remain tormenting their lives. But God is faithful and just not only to forgive you your sins, but to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Wouldn't it be great to look in the mirror and love what you see? Just love what you see. Well, the Word of God says Christ is where? In us. Do you love Christ? Why aren't you seeing it when you look in the mirror? See, there's so many other things that we tend to look at, tend to focus at, tend to think about, rather than come to the light, confess our sins, knowing God is absolutely faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the unfortunate thing is, if you're hiding from God, you're hiding from your deliverance. Don't provide cover or camouflage for sin, because that is the hiding place for the spirit realm. We have to come to the place where we see that the evil spirit realm is the uncleanness, and don't allow unconfessed sin to provide a place for it to stay and hide out. As David, whom the scripture says was a man after God's own heart, reveals in Psalm 32, let's go there. Psalm 32, it's a great psalm of God, psalm of David. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I what?
Not hid.
Not hid. So there is the availability for you to hide, right? But he didn't want it to be hidden. He wanted to get it out in the open so that it could be exposed, so that God could cleanse him of all unrighteousness. He says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, that means to think deeply about it. Think deeply. Really consider that. See, if we're hiding the sin, then we're hiding from deliverance. He didn't hide it because he knew God would help him get rid of it. Why? Because it's not you, it's the uncleanness. And you're mistaking it for you. You know, at my job, when I was working construction, one time we had a skunk go down one of the sewer drains, and I had to take a snake and get the skunk out of it. Was a dead skunk out of the sewer drain, so I'm putting it down there and I'm yanking it and pulling things back and forth, and the stuff went on my coat, and man, it stunk, but it wasn't me. You know, people didn't walk up when they smelled it. They said, ooh, skunk. They recognized what it was. They didn't say, ooh, you stink. Well, some did, but and some people will. But if you really understand that it's the uncleanness, then you can get the stink out and get the stink off. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. See, humanity tends to hide anything that that bothers them. But we don't need to hide from it. See, Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and what? Forsaketh them shall have mercy. And the word mercy is the word for compassion. Isn't that beautiful? And the word compassion has its root in the word womb. Now, with a baby, your desire is to protect that baby. You know, the minute that baby comes out of the womb, and possibly even before it, you love that thing. And you want to protect it. You know, that's what this word mercy is. Isn't that something? The next thing is, once we get honest to come to the light, then we need to be humble to the Word of God. Look at the 119th Psalm. We'll look at some of these records. Psalm 119:59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I thought about what I was doing, and what I did was I walked right to the light. I thought about what I was doing. gosh, I'm covering for the evil spirit realm. I'm covering for the devil. What in the world for? And I thought of my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, I saw where I was going and realized, what in the world am I doing? So I turn my way unto thy testimonies. Why? Because the word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. And I wanted to walk in the light. Let's look at verse 133. This is a familiar one to a lot of us. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have what? Dominion over me. Remember we did that teaching on authority? So it's the same thing. It's just the Old Testament for it. Word dominion. Dominion is authority. See, when we hide ourselves, our sins, we give evil spirits legal rights to remain and continue to afflict our lives. When our confession is we are less than what the Word says we are, we curse ourselves. You know, I'm never going to amount to anything. I can never do anything right. I'm stupid. I'm just so stupid. See, when we hate how we look, when we wish we were never born, or worse, wish we were dead, we curse ourselves because that is not the testimony of what the Word says. And all that does is not only invite evil to our lives, but then it provides the words by which they may be empowered against us and stay and remain to afflict us. Why help the enemy? Beloved, this has got to stop immediately. If that's part of your confession, you need to stop it immediately. You need to move in another direction. You need to confess the sin, and you need to renounce those kinds of things. We must not only confess our sins, but forsake it, and that means to renounce these curses we've pronounced against ourselves. Because like I say, all it does is provide the very words that the enemy will then use against us. He will empower those words to attack us and afflict us. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. None, zero, zip, nada. None of it. Because all these evil ones have ever done is cause pain and torment. And we need to get the stink out. And God is so loving and so kind. He will forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, in the ministry, we must also be clearly honest with those true ministers of God who are working for our deliverance. As we're encouraged in James chapter 5. Let's turn there. Hebrews, James. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Why? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the word availeth is the word eskuo. You remember when I gave you the different words for power, that's the one for prevailing power. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man prevails. And that's what we should do, prevail over the enemy. See, we talk about being more than conquerors, and there we are telling ourselves we don't amount to anything. We say, I'm more than, you know, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, and we're wishing we were dead. We're wishing we were never even born. Good Lord. See how he has so convoluted our thinking. Then in Proverbs, it says in Proverbs 17, let's go there. If we do that, then these ministers, these true ministers, will cover our sins with silence. In other words, we got to get to the place where we have good ministers that people can come and share these things and know that they're not going to be repeated again. When our Christian community turns into the National Enquirer, then we lose the deliverance for our people. But there, I believe there are still honest, true ministers who really desire to help God's people, that you can come and they will assist you to get past these things, get over these things, and if you need, get delivered from these things. What did I say, Proverbs chapter 17? Okay, I'll be there in a second. And I know there are lots of ministers, not only in Beloved of God Ministries, but in other ministries. I'm talking about in our Christian community. There are people that people can go to. If there's no one in your church area or wherever you are, then give us a call. We will help you. Because that should not be so. Our people should not be so bound. That's not God's will for His people. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And there are true ministers available that will help, and then it's just between you and God and that minister. In Proverbs 17, verse 9, it says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." So, there are requirements for these wonderful ministers. Look at 1 Peter, back to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 4. But you have to get to the place where you can confess that sin. My mother used to have two favorite sayings. Confession is good for the soul, and a guilty conscience needs no accuser. I don't know about good for the soul, but I know it's good for believers because the Word exhorts us to confess our sin. And I understand that people get tied up in it and they can't get loose of it. That's why we need to confess it so we can help, so someone can help us get untied. I'll explain a little bit about that, but see, don't allow all this stuff to hide in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Is it 8? Yeah. No, that's not it. Oh, I'm in 1 John. That's why it doesn't look right. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover," what? "A multitude of sins." But don't allow the junk to hide. Now, I know some people think, oh, Panarello's on a devil spirit kick now. That's not it. I'm on a deliverance kick. If you want to call it anything, I'm on a deliverance kick. I want to help God's people get delivered. It's not that I'm seeing, that there's a devil spirits behind every bush and under every rock and all of this other stuff that we often hear. But there are a lot of Christians that act as if they don't even exist. And meanwhile, their lives are being tormented. Well, what's the torment coming from? God? I just want to help people get over it as a ministry. That's not just my cause. This is God's cause. I want to get back to the great commissioning that we were given in Mark 16. cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. Something's not right. And John 8:31 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
If things are reoccurring, you're not free. If you can't get over it, if you can't get past it, if you are bound by it, you're not free. We haven't gotten to the truth concerning that particular area, but I will help you get there. And there are lots of ministers in our Christian community that will help you get there. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that means absolutely free. Let's look at a record where they really took heed to these things. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 is a tremendous record that I want to share with you. Take a moment or two. In verse 18, it says, the whole record, there's a lot of things that happen at Ephesus. You can go back and read the whole record. But here we begin in verse 18. It says, and many that believed came and what?
Confessed
and showed their deeds. Many that believed came. Many that believed. Well, many that believed are Christians, right? They're Christian people. Many that believed came. Our Christian brethren, and confessed and showed their deeds. So they had to tell somebody about it, right? There were the ministers there to help them. They showed their deeds. The word deeds is practices. They showed what they were practicing because it ran a lot deeper than just, you know, an occasional sin. It ran a lot deeper. These were things that were being practiced in their lives. And there's lots of different things that get practiced in people's lives. Maybe they start out as just something very, simple, something not a big deal, but then you get wrapped up in it and you can't get out of it. You know, for instance, people get angry. They do get angry. But when you're flying off the handle about everything, and you can no longer control it. I mean, no matter what happens, you're angry. You're angry all the time. You're angry in the day. You're angry at night. Something's wrong. There's something that's got you bound. And you need to be unbound so you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ so that your life can be a glory for God. You know, different things for different people. You know, if you're afraid to leave your house, where you have these panic attacks and you can't get over it. You're bound up that way. You need help. Because God doesn't want that. That's not the way your life should be. If you're constantly depressed, no matter what you do, you just can't get over it. Oh, you know, you have a good day here and a good day there, but 90% of the days you're depressed or you're oppressed. You need help. If you take a drink and you have to finish the bottle, you need help. And God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of your unrighteousness. If you watch pornography at work on your computer, you need help. It's getting the best of you. And God should have the best of you. All of the greatness of God in Christ in you, and there is deliverance available. God wants you free. How much do you want to be free? Well, the brethren in Ephesus, they came and showed their deeds. They confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts, you know, Ouija boards, white magic, black magic, the black arts, all of those different things. palm reading, Dungeons and Dragons, all these different things. It's not just the occult, but it's all these things you get absorbed in. You got to get, if you run home from work so you can get on the computer so you can play a computer game, you need to check yourself out. What is it that's driving you and enticing you? Well, other people have had that problem. Other believers have had that problem. Look, we're looking at a record. I understand the tendency to be embarrassed and not want to say anything, don't want anybody to know about it. And that's fine. But you need help. And if you can't get past it on your own, you need help. See? Many of them, many of the believing ones at Ephesus, this great place, many of them needed help, used curious arts, brought their books together. You know, all the different kinds of books that people get wrapped up in. It seems like every one that comes out now is a whole series of books. Well, now, it's been for a long time. Lord of the Rings, the whole series there, Harry Potter and all these other things. I'm not making accusations against the books. I'm concerned about how they're affecting your life as an individual, your life as a son of God, your life as a daughter of God, your life as a believing one. How is it affecting your life? Because if it's affecting it negative there, then we got a problem, because it doesn't have to be that. It could be Danielle Steele. It could be, you know, romance novels that you're so wrapped up in and you just can't break away from them if you wanted to. That shouldn't be. Not for you. Not for a son of God, not for a daughter of God. That shouldn't be. And then you mourn the marriage that you're in, or you mourn the relationships that you have or no longer have. That should not be. Not for a son of God. And God has commissioned us to cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See? Now, of course, obviously, the occult, but get past that. It's a lot more than just occult books. There are people that are absolutely dedicated to books on diets. There are people absolutely dedicated to books on, you know, natural cures and stuff like that. No problem with natural cures. God told Isaiah to tell Hezekiah to take a lump of figs and put it on the boil. There we got, you know, health natural cures. No problem with it. But when you're so absorbed in it, and you couldn't get loose of it if you wanted to, and yet, with all of that, your health is decreasing rather than increasing, something is not right. Whatever you paid for the book, it's costing you a lot more on the other end. And these people realized it, because it says, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. It's quite a book burning session there, and all of that stuff. It's not the book, it's what's behind it. It's what it opens the door to. It's the same thing what your confession opens the door to. What you're signing contracts for, or allowing the adversary access to your life. Do you see it? See? $50,000 pieces of silver is a low price compared to what it was costing them in their lives. And I think that Christian people today are far too accepting of evil. We're so willing to put up with it. And torment. that you've forgotten the great joy of life. See, Jesus Christ didn't come to be the Savior of the world only after we're dead. Then we should have died at birth. There's got to be a lot more in this life. The joy and blessings. Then it goes on to say, once they had done that, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Iscus. It prevailed. Well, where did it prevail? It prevailed in their lives. They were living the joy of being a son of God. They were living the joy of being a daughter of God. They were living the joy of being part of the family of God. They were living the joy of what it is to help other people get delivered. And as I said, you know, we have gotten a commissioning from God to do things. And we ought to carry out that commissioning. And if you need help, help is available. Deliverance should be found everywhere in our Christian community. And if you need help and assistance, we can assist. But don't delay. You know, we need to stop these confessions. And then you wonder, well, why am I not prospering? Well, the Word tells us. He that covereth the sin shall not prosper. And if you're constantly uptight, you're constantly pressured, you're constantly under the gun, that's not the way God wanted your life to be. That's not the way you imagined your life to be. Well, we do have an enemy. Didn't just accidentally slip there. He's been planning and working this for a long time. You know, he's amassed the troops on the border and is just waiting to cross over. But we have to have the boldness and the confidence and the power of God, which the Word of God delegates all of that to us, so that we can be triumphant in this life. And I believe that Beloved of God Ministries, our desire is to carry out that great commissioning, as should be all of our Christian community at large. And I will, I know we have ministers, I'm not just going to say I will, we have ministers that will extend themselves for you on your behalf and in your behalf to help get you to that place. Because we shouldn't be so bound. If we really desire deliverance, we need honesty, we need humility, we need to confess and we need to renounce. To reject those things. That's what they did in Ephesus with that book burning and all that. They rejected the effects and the access and no longer provided that access for the enemy to afflict their lives. Don't be embarrassed. Be loving. Be loving to yourself. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. You don't need to hide all those things. We can bring it out into the light and you can walk free. And again, I encourage you, those of you that receive the CDs or if you get it through our email, if you need assistance, we are here, we are ready, we are willing to assist you in any way that we can. Because I know that our God does not desire for you to live that way. He desires for you to be more than a conqueror in every situation. And I believe you can be. And I believe that more abundant life is really there for us. And we don't have to fake it till we make it. You know, we can actually move ahead and live in the greatness of this. So we sure love you. And you have our phone number. You have all of our information. You can contact us by email, minister@bgm-usa.org. You can write us, write me. You can write us at our P.O. Box, Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio, 43086. And, you know, we're ready, willing, and able to assist you. So Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your great faithfulness and your wonderful justice that you provide for us so that we can live free. Thank you, Father, for your kindness to us, for the power that you've given to us. And Father, may the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can bring relief to your people and they can live in the joy and the blessings that you've set for us, and that, Father, they can also join in that great commissioning that you've given to us. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful love to us in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.